بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. الحمد لله. This is the penultimate virtue that we're discussing, and that means it's the second to the last virtue. And tomorrow we'll be finishing this program for Ramadan. And this virtue that we're covering tonight is not really a single virtue, but it's a collection of traits that, when taken together, represent the ideal Muslim. And these traits put together, we call good character. So good character isn't really a single virtue, but it's a collection of virtues put together. And from one perspective, every single virtue we've been speaking about this Ramadan are elements of good character. But we want to look at good character in a more general way. But before we do that, we have to define what character is. What is akhlaq? The word akhlaq comes from the same root as the word khalq, or creation. And in the Arabic language, you have the word khalq for the physical form, and the khuluq for the internal aspects. So you have the outer of the person, the zahir, and you have the batin, the inward. So khalq is the outward, and khuluq is the inward. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in a very famous hadith, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have only been sent to perfect the noble qualities of character. This hadith is very important because in it we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come to bring a new character. He did not come to bring new qualities that didn't exist before. He came to refine, enhance, and develop good character that has always been good character. He didn't say لِأُؤَسِّسَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. He said لِأُتَمِّمْ, to complete, to perfect good character. The ulama mention that good character has different levels. Like many of these virtues we've been speaking about, there are levels. They say there is the akhlaq, the character between the person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The character between the person and Allah ta'ala. And many of the virtues we've been speaking about this Ramadan represent aspects of that character. So trust and hope, fear of Allah ta'ala, tawbah, all of these virtues are inward characteristics that, when taken as a whole, represent akhlaq that the person has with their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have the akhlaq with other human beings, how we treat other people, our mu'amala, our dealings with them. So being just, being fair, being forgiving, being patient with people, these are all virtues of character that define how we interact with other people. And then lastly, there is akhlaq with ourselves. The character we have and how we treat ourselves. So that means ihsan, doing things well, mastery, ta'anni, deliberation, taking our time, treating our bodies like an amana, like a trust from Allah Ta'ala. So we deal with ourselves in a way that represents the ideal of prophetic guidance. So akhlaq with Allah, with other people, and with ourselves. All three together represent the akhlaq that we're speaking about tonight. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in many, many hadith about the virtue of character, of the importance of good character. In one narration, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that with good character, a person will reach darajat as-sa'im wal-qa'im, the degree or the level of the person who prays at night in tahajjud and the one who does voluntary fast. So if you take a person who's praying tahajjud every single night and fasting every single day, and you have a person who doesn't do that, but they have excellent character towards others, that person with excellent character attains the level of those people who are devoted in their prayers, night prayers and fasting. And if a person is lacking akhlaq, then their night prayers and their fasting aren't really going to benefit them in the big picture. Because there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which Sayyidah Aisha mentions a woman who was fasting and praying all the time, but she treated her neighbors very poorly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that her prayers and her fasting are not really going to benefit her, because ultimately those acts of worship should transform the heart. And if the heart is being transformed through their ibadat, it should transform how that person is with himself and with others. So if that's not happening, something is wrong. If the sunnah is being implemented in ibadah, but it's not being lived in one's character towards others, something is missing. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of judgment, nothing will be heavier on the scale than good character. So we shouldn't underestimate the importance of just being a person with good character and treating people well. So before we talk about the elements or aspects of akhlaq, we have to answer a very important question that the scholars explore when they talk about akhlaq. And that question is, can we even change our character? Is that even a possibility? One of the earliest debates in Islamic history was whether or not our character is innate, fitri, something that's a part of who we are and unchangeable, or is it malleable and open to being changed for the better? And, you know, we know who we are. Our personalities remain more or less fixed for the most part. And parents see this very clearly in their own children. You have a child, almost from the time they're articulating some speech, when they're even 1 year old, you can see the basic character in the child. And as they get older, the character isn't really changing. It's the same fundamental mizaj or temperament. You have the child that's, from day one, they're very calm, they're very relaxed and easygoing. And then another child is hot-tempered, has anger issues, is quick to get angry. And both of these children are coming from the same set of parents. And that's so amazing, because the parents have their own character and the children have vastly different characters. So within one family, you have one child that's more easygoing, one that's more heated and quick to anger, one who's more introverted, one who's more extroverted. And as you go through the years, that fundamental character remains. It doesn't really change. And this led the scholars to debate the issue. Can we even change our character? If you're naturally sanguine, meaning you're naturally open and easygoing, you have a high degree of openness to experience and getting along with people, you're extroverted, that doesn't really change over the years. It pretty much stays the same. If you're introverted, it's the same way. So can we change our character from better or to worse, or from worse to better? The answer is yes, we can change our character. If we have certain inborn traits that are taking us in a negative direction or making certain negative things easier, that doesn't mean that we can't change. If it were not possible for us to change our character for the better, then there would be no benefit in Allah Ta'ala sending prophets and messengers telling us to adopt good character. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say adopt good character if you can't change your character? It doesn't make any sense. So our natural dispositions mean that yes, there are going to be certain bad qualities or tendencies that are easier for us to fall into. But on the other hand, there's also good qualities that are naturally easier for us. So if you're introverted, for example, talking less is going to be a lot easier than someone who's naturally extroverted. So the virtue of samt, of being few of words and not talking too much, that will probably be easier for you if you're introverted than if you're extroverted and you're naturally a chatterbox, you like to talk. Likewise, so certain good qualities may be easier for you based on your natural temperament. Certain bad qualities may be easier for you to fall into because of your natural temperament. The idea is that we want to accentuate the good that is naturally easy based on our personality, and we want to minimize the bad qualities that are naturally easier for us to fall into. So we make adjustments and work with what we have to enhance the good and to remove the bad by replacing it with what is good. So if we are born with certain tendencies to bad character, may it be a person is quick to anger, so they lose their temper easily. Does that mean that they can say, well, Allah created me with anger issues, so it's not really my fault. I can't change the way I am. What you see is what you get. Now the answer is no, of course. We cannot blame our natural inclinations. We cannot blame the qadar. We cannot blame society. We cannot blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creating us with a certain personality. We're still responsible for how we act, even if some bad qualities are easier for us than they may be for others. So the ulama of Islam have elaborated in great depth about the nature of character and the types of character and what is seen as the ideal model to aspire towards. And we can't go into all of those details looking at the ethical theory of Islam, but what we want to do instead is just look at a very brief passage from Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah in his Ihya Ulumuddin, where he sought to crystallize and condense the essence of what it means to have good character as a Muslim. In his Ihya Ulumuddin, Imam Al-Ghazali, Hujjatul Islam, said that good character, in a nutshell, is to be modest, to do little harm and much good, to be truthful of speech, few of words, and many of works, few of sins. It is to mind one's own business, to be kind and solicitous, I mean you care for others, to be faithful in keeping one's ties with others, to be dignified, patient, and thankful. It is to be satisfied with little, to be forbearing, gentle, without lust or greed, and to feel empathy with others. It is not to curse, revile, or spread gossip between people, or slander, or show overhaste, or to be malicious, stingy, or envious. He says, it is to be cheerful and pleasant, to love for the sake of Allah, hate for the sake of Allah, be pleased for Allah, and angry for Allah. This, he says, is what good character consists of. So that is akhlaq in a nutshell. And this is a good opportunity to exercise akhlaq when you have loud children and your patience is tested in Ramadan. We now have the theoretical to the practical, right? So the question now is, knowing the definition of akhlaq and its importance and that it is possible to change our character to good character, how exactly do we improve our character? First and foremost, we have to learn what good akhlaq really is. We first have to know from the Quran and the Sunnah what good character is. We have to see examples of good character, both the obvious examples and the more subtle examples that are elucidated within the Quran and the Sunnah. Now we see in the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam everything there is to see about good character, because he is the paragon of virtue. He is at the pinnacle of good character, as Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, you are on an exalted standard of character. So he is the model, and the more we know about that model, the better we can act. If we don't know what good character really is, then it's going to be difficult to develop it. فَاقِدُ شَيْءٍ لَا يُعْطِي. If you don't have something, you can't give it. If you don't know what something is, you can't seek it out and acquire it. So we have to know what are the various aspects of good character elucidated within the Quran and the Sunnah. We should know what are the rewards and the benefits of good character in this life and the next, and what are the detriments of their opposites. How does bad character harm us and harm others and affect us in this life and in the next? How does bad character harm us in the big picture? That's the first thing, is just knowledge. Because the more you know, the better you can act. Then, to develop good character, we have to keep as the qudwa, as the ideal, the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that means knowing his life, knowing his character, and seeing how he dealt with different types of people. He did not deal with everyone in the same way. He did not treat the Bedouin who was urinating in the masjid out of ignorance the same way he would have treated Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had he done that. وَحَشَاهُ He wouldn't have done that. But let's imagine for a moment that someone in the rank of Sayyidina Abu Bakr was to do something like that. وَحَشَاهُ He would not have dealt with him the way he dealt with that ignorant Bedouin. Because every person is at a certain level. Some people know better, some people don't. So through the different interactions with different strata of society, we see examples of how he was in his character with others, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We also learn from the Sahaba aspects of good character, because certain Sahaba have certain temperaments and personalities. Some of those personalities may closely align with our own. So if you're more extroverted, you have a good example in the character of Sayyidina Umar. If you're very forthright, you like to speak your mind and speak up, and you don't shy away from things to the point of being blunt, well, you have a good example in the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, because he took whatever negative aspects that could arise from that personality trait and he sublimated them and put them within the guidance of Islam. And whatever was already good, it was accentuated through the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the same for Sayyidina Uthman, the same for Sayyidina Ali. Each one is modeling some aspect of the character as embodied through their own unique personality. Another way of developing akhlaq, besides this knowledge, is to learn character through the crucible of life. And we touched on this last night. We were talking about this. We said, you can attend a million talks, you can read a million books about good character and virtues, but none of that is going to actually develop your virtues and character. What develops them is putting them into practice in the crucible of life. So the crucible of life is basically being put in a situation where you have to exercise that character trait, where you have to act on it. It's easy to think that we have a quality if we just sit and talk about it and hear about it. But when we get in the crucible of life, we see, oh, actually that's something I have to work on, right? Whatever it may be. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this reality when he says, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمْ وَالْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمْ. And we referenced this hadith last night, or part of it. Knowledge is acquired through learning, and forbearance is acquired through actively developing it within you. In the Arabic language, this form of the verb tafa'ala means takalluf. You have to take active steps to develop within yourself. You don't obtain sabr by wishful thinking. You don't obtain hilm, forbearance, by wishful thinking. You develop it by actively cultivating it within yourself. Learning about it first, but then practicing it to the best of your ability in the crucible of life. The last means of developing good character is dua. It is dua. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to ask Allah to give us good character. One of the du'as he taught us to say when we put on our clothes and look in the mirror is, Allahumma kama hasanta khalqi hasan khuluqi. O Allah, just as you have adorned my physical form, my khalq, adorn my character, the inward as well. In another du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, O Allah, guide me to good character. For there is no one who can guide to good character except you. So we take these du'as and we use them to implement the sunnah and ask Allah to develop those qualities within us, while then taking the means in the crucible of life based on that knowledge of that high standard that we aspire to. And as we said earlier in the beginning, every single virtue we've been covering this Ramadan is really one aspect of character. And when you put them all together, you have good character. And that is the good character between you and Allah in the actions of the heart, the character you have with other people, how you deal with them, and the character you have with yourself in taking care of yourself, of being deliberate in your actions, of aiming towards mastery in whatever you apply yourself to in life, that whenever you do something, whatever it may be, in whatever domain, we aim for ihsan. Ihsan means itqan, mastery, to do your best. That is good character with yourself, where you say, I am a member of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brought a message of ihsan, and I owe it to him as a member of his Ummah to apply myself with excellence to whatever I do in life. That's good character to yourself. That's integrity. And we have integrity with ourselves, integrity with others, and integrity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When all that's put together, we aim towards good character. And may Allah give us that good character inwardly and outwardly with Allah ta'ala, with others, and with ourselves. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.